Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, January 26, 2014. Pastor Paul Tolberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In just a few seconds, you're going to see on the screen a summary of chapter 14. It's a summary of 1 Kings, a whole bunch of chapters in 1 Kings. These are not the happy chapters. These are kind of sad chapters. Also, just on a personal note, as you watch this, this is the part when, as a little boy, I got really befuddled because I couldn't figure out what the names were. How to keep them straight, what's north and what's south. And it took me a long time before I saw what God was doing. So now please give your attention to how they were trying to make it simpler for us to understand what God has said in his word with a kingdom that was torn in two.
At the end of King Solomon's reign over Israel, God told a man named Jeroboam that he would become king over all but one of the tribes of Israel. But Solomon wasn't ready to give up the throne, so he tried to kill Jeroboam, who escaped and fled to Egypt. A short while later, Solomon died, and his son Rehoboam was named king. The people were unhappy with the heavy taxes placed on them and went to complain, along with their spokesperson, Jeroboam. Despite their complaints, the king refused to listen. Furious, most of Israel made Jeroboam their leader and lived in the northern territory called Israel, where Rehoboam ruled over the southern tribe called Judah. After being a united country for many years, Israel was now split in two. The new king of the northern territory, Jeroboam, was worried that when his people returned to the south in order to worship at the temple in Jerusalem, they might be persuaded to become loyal to Rehoboam instead of him. So he devised a plan. He constructed two golden calves and told his people that they were the gods that helped them escape from Egypt many years earlier. Then he had a huge festival to worship these gods, and unbelievably, the Israelites went along with it. Then one day, Jeroboam was at one of the altars making a sacrifice, when a man who followed God approached Jeroboam and warned him that his kingdom would soon be ruined. Jeroboam stretched out his arm and shouted, "Seize him!" As he did, his hand shriveled up. Terrified, Jeroboam pleaded with the man to pray for him. So the man prayed for Jeroboam's hand, and it was healed. Even after this display of God's power, Jeroboam still led the people to worship other gods. For years, Jeroboam and Rehoboam were at war. When Rehoboam died, his son and then grandson took over as kings of Judah. His son worshiped other gods, just like his father. But Rehoboam's grandson, Asa, was different. Asa got rid of the idols and was fully committed to following God. The northern kingdom of Israel continued to be led by a series of wicked men, none of whom followed God. One of these kings was Ahab, who did more evil in the eyes of God than any king before him. Perhaps worst of all, Ahab married Jezebel, a woman from a foreign country who convinced him and almost all of Israel to worship a foreign god named Baal. Because of this, God would need to send a messenger to set things straight.
I now invite the children to come up here for a brief children's devotion using my scissors, which I'm allowed to use. Can't use power tools, but I can use scissors. There's something wrong with that. Hi, Noah. I like how paper sounds. Let's just sit there. You can sit there. Do you want to hold on to this? Oh, it's your eye itches. Yeah. Sally's going to be taking care of the itchy eye up here. But I think, like Bruce, I think you just kind of want to be up here. That's usually what happens here. This is a picture of a country, okay? It's a country, and it used to be called Israel. And I have to tell you what happened. It used to be one big country, and God gave it to King David. And King David, God said, I'm going to give it to your son, Solomon. Solomon's a smart guy. We heard about him yesterday, last week. But then what happened is when Solomon died, he didn't make very good choices. In your house, what happens when you don't make good choices? What do your parents have to do? What do your parents have to do if you make bad choices? You had something else? Yeah, to punish you, yeah. Yeah, go in the corner, yeah, got to go in the corner. And if the corner doesn't work, what happens then? Go into your room, okay? What's another kind of punishment that sometimes parents have to do? Grounding, yeah, when you get older, yeah. Oh, that's a terrible thing when you get older. And when I was younger, my mom and dad loved me so much that when I was doing naughty things, they loved me so much, they spanked my bottom. And it really hurt. And then whenever they were spanking me, they said, I'm doing this because I love you. You need to know what you're doing is wrong. Well, what happened was when this kingdom was given to a guy by the name of, I can just call him Jerry, because he's part of the Boehm brothers, okay? And his name is Jerry. Jerry said, okay. And then the people came up to him and said, sir, your dad was really hard. Solomon, he was smart, but he was really hard on us. Could you just back off a little bit on all the rules that we have to do? And King Jerry talked around, and he talked to some of his friends. And his friends said, don't be a wimp. Be a tough guy. Show them who's boss. And so that's what King Jerry did. He's a bully. And the people got really mad. So then another guy by the name of Jerry, one of the Boehm brothers, Jerry Boehm, and Jerry, he's down here in the south, and he says, we're not going to stand for this anymore. And he went away from them. And the kingdom was torn in two. Now, a bad thing about paper, when I rip this, I can't really put it back together. You're right. I can tape it. I can glue it. But you'll always see where the rip is. And that's what happened. There was a terrible rip. And this kingdom, since they didn't want anything to do with this kingdom, and up here is where the Lord was worshipped, they had all sorts of terrible problems. And they kept on doing bad things and bad things and bad things until finally God says, enough of that. And they were gone. It's a terrible thing. All that's left was the northern kingdom because, this is the cool part, God keeps his promises. Can you say that? God keeps his promises. He had promised David that he would have a king come from David's land of Judah. Solomon was from there. King Rebbe was there from there too. So here we have all this northern kingdom. Guess what happened? The northern kingdom said, you know, I kind of like what they're doing down there in south. I'm sorry, flipped it around. I kind of like... Oh, Lord, see, I still don't get this. Yeah. New seat. Oh, yeah, you're smirking at me. Yeah. This is what happens when you make a mistake. When you make a mistake, you say, I made a mistake. And then you say, I'm sorry. New sheet. Okay. God comes along. God took away the northern ones went away. Here we are down south, because down south is where Jerusalem is. And down south in the kingdom of Judah. And down south is where God was worshipped. But they saw all the exciting, fun things that were going on in the northern kingdom, and they started to sin against God. And so God let them have all sorts of people come and fight them. And pretty soon, bits and pieces were all gone. And it was a terrible thing, except for one thing. God keeps his promises. And he made sure that there was Judah still there so that you and I would have a Savior. That's what I want you to remember. You're going to be like me. You might get all this other stuff confused, north and south. Remember that God keeps his promises. So when you sin against him, when you do a naughty thing to your mom or dad, or you treat your brother or your sister mean, the first thing you do is you say, I was wrong. And you say, I'm sorry. And you say, God, please forgive me. And God loves to forgive you. Okay, we'll fold our hands and pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for taking away my sins. All these names and places sometimes befuddle me. But God, you are always clear on where I am and where you are going to take me home to heaven. Please continue to bless me and keep me close to you. Amen. And now I'm going to give you all one of these sheets. And I'm going to tell you, make sure that you know what's north and what's south. Okay? North is the top part of the page. South is the bottom part of the page. God kept the south. Here's your page. And now you may go back to your seat. Got it? Okay, you may go back to your seat. Thank you. You know what's funny is as I'm doing this, I'm reminded that of a conversation that Ron Fregain had with me a long time ago. He gave me something to announce before church. And he said, oh, Pastor, just announce it. And I kept on forgetting. So then he said, oh, Pastor, I'll write it down on a piece of paper for you. I said, that's fine. And I forgot to look at the piece of paper. I said, I don't know what it is, Ron. When you get up in front of people, just sometimes it just happens. And he said, I'll take care of that for you, Pastor. I'll do the announcements next week because they have to know what's going on. I said, okay, thank you so much, Ron. So then he came up the following week, and he made all his announcements. And he walked back, he shook my hand, and he said, I forgot an announcement that I wrote out on my piece of paper. What you saw there was not planned. I didn't plan on making a mistake as a teaching tool. It just turns out that it's a pretty good teaching tool for the children. Christians always do things wrong because we have a sinful nature. The memory board is always being erased between our ears. When we fall down, we hurt. Sometimes our self-control gets out of hand and leaves the building, and we just go on a rage. But Christians have something incredible. We have a God that we know loves us and took care of our sins for us. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, of how he was showing his love and mercy in a kingdom that was torn in two. That's where it was. That's how it happened. It was a terrible thing, torn in two. But you're going to see that what I chose as a part of God's word to share was from the book of James. It's on page 6 in your worship folders, James chapter 4. It says, so obey God, stand up to the devil, he'll run away from you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Make your hearts pure, you who can't make up your minds. Be full of sorrow. Cry. Sob. Change your laughter to crying. Change your joy to sadness. Bow down to the Lord. He will lift you up. Torn in two. Kingdom torn in two, and it was never going to be the same. Solomon's great kingdom, the golden age of Israel, didn't even last 10 years. All that wealth did not keep him alive, did not keep his son or his grandchildren alive. It's a sad thing. All of his fame, all of his wisdom, none of his people seemed to put that into practice. This is what's being taught. If you want to share this with a younger person, this is what's being taught in all these histories. You can't walk with God holding hands with the devil. It just does not work. You cannot walk with God. You cannot be with God at the same time. Oh, I'm going to be a little friend with the devil too. God says it can't be. Jesus says, what business does fellowship with the light have to do with fellowship with the darkness? Darkness does not exist in the light. They didn't get it. Repeatedly, they didn't get it. This is what the Lord says to do. He said it in the Old Testament. He says it in the New Testament. Resist the devil. So now we're going to look at that just a little bit. Give in to what Jesus says. He says, obey me. So obey God. Can't get much clearer. Normally when people hear obey God, the next thing that happens is you're covered with guilt because you have not obeyed God. Love the Lord first, most, and best. Misuse his name. Kind of thought that Bible reading was a bore. Kind of dissed your parents when you were growing up, or maybe you're dissing them now, or maybe you're not taking care of your kids. Maybe you're not caring about life. Maybe you're not caring about God's gift of marriage or people's possessions, or maybe you want more. You're so discontent. You always want. We continually disobey God and his word. We love to listen to gossip, and we love to pass it along. And we say, well, I don't know if it's true or not, but, and then we pass it along. How wicked we are. So when we hear the words, so obey God, immediately the first thing that comes to mind is our incredible wickedness. We have disobeyed God. But there's something else about this word that you need to know. Jesus wants us to obey him when he says, believe me, your sins are gone. So believe him. Obey what he's saying when he says, your sins are gone, I want you to trust me. What have I done? What did Jesus do for you on the cross? What did Jesus do for me on the cross? Well, he went through all my life with a fine-tooth comb, and he got out tons and tons and tons, every speck of sin. And he took it on himself. He carried it to a cross outside of Jerusalem. He let people put nails in his hands and feet and spit on him and hit him and make fun of him. Because sin must be paid for. And then he came back to life again. And he says, your sins are forgiven. Tell anybody their sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. If you don't tell them, they're not forgiven, so tell them. And the disciples believed him, and they went out to the world. They believed him. A handful of disciples, when Jesus says, go to the whole world, they said yes. And they had no trains, they had no planes, they had no cars, they had very little roads, no maps, very itty-bitty boats. And yet when he said go, they said yes, sir, and they went with willing and happy feet because God had worked in them this incredible gift called faith to take him at his word. So the first thing to do is when God says, believe me, give in. Believe him. Second thing is, get close. It says here, stand up to the devil, he will run away from you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. What a refreshing verse. This God of gods who created everything in heaven and earth, this powerful being who is beyond our understanding, doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to fear him. What does that mean? In the Old Testament, you hear this all the time. Fear God and keep his commandments. What does that mean? God does not want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to be in awe of him. It's kind of like if you're in jail for whatever reason and you can't come up with the amount of money to get out of jail, and someone comes and pays your fine for you, like your dad, and he gets you out of jail. And your dad is in the parking lot, and you come out of the police department, and you're kind of looking around, how am I going to get home? And your dad opens up the door and says, come here. I paid your fine. Come on in. I'm going to take you home. You're kind of like, should I really get in the car or not? Overwhelmed by the kindness, surprised by the mercy. And as dads try to do that, we fail. But God, our Heavenly Father, doesn't fail. He says, come to me. Are you burdened with guilt? Come to me. Are you afraid? Come to me. You think you can't make ends meet? Come to me. Whatever is weighing you down, put it on my shoulders and I will carry it for you, because I want you to be free. Oh, so get close to God. You won't get close to mountain nature. You get close to his things that he made. The only place you're going to get close to God is in his word, where he'll tell you all about himself. I've been studying God's word for a few years now, and I have just barely scratched the surface of who the true and living God is. What an awesome God we serve. So full of love and compassion, and yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He is perfect justice as well as perfect love. So give in when he says, come to me. Get close when he says, come to me. And then stay clean. Stay clean. Don't pretend that you can have a foot in both camps. Doesn't work. It says, wash your hands, you sinners. Make your hearts pure, you who can't make up your minds. Be full of sorrow. Cry and sob. Change your laughter to crying. Change your joy to sadness. Bow down to the Lord. He will lift you up. Be full of sorrow. Cry and sob. Change your laughter to crying. What is he talking about? God's desire is that you and I are like best buds with his heart. So that how God feels about things, that's how you and I feel about things. So when I walk into church, God's house, I am incredibly excited. When I see God's people here to be taught from what God says in his word, I am so awed by a gracious God, knowing that this whole room is full of angels that I can't see. And that you and I understand something that angels are struggling to get their heads around. Imagine that. But if I'm looking at that, I'm also looking at sin in my life as something that God hates, and I hate it. It makes me sick like it makes God sick. I don't want to be around it like God doesn't want to be around sin. It cost the life of his son. How can I want to play around in the pool that's stained with Jesus' blood? I don't want that. And I shun that. And that's how you and I are. With our hearts are in tune with God, then we hate the things that God hates, and we love the things that God loves. So that's it. Give in, get close, and stay clean. And even as I say those words to encourage you, you and I both know it's not going to happen. Before this day is out, even before an hour is out, you and I are going to fall into some sin again. Maybe a little pet sin that's sneaking up behind us. Maybe it's some sin that's going to catch us by surprise. We don't know. So that you are not discouraged, remember the God that we serve. Here is a nation in open rebellion against him. And he found a way. He made a way to rescue them. And those believers that trusted in him were saved, just like you and I. In Jesus' name, so let us live. Amen.